Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truths and the myths of the people and events that have created the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Ruby Frias, and I have the coolest job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Pete Museum of History. Located on the pier, the museum has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for nearly 104 years, and now we're happy to share them with you here on Radio St. Pete. So a few years back, the National Newspaper Publishers Association claimed that there were more than 200 local and regional publications directed to the African-American communities in the United States. Thanks to one family, we are so fortunate that one of those papers still lives in St. Petersburg. During the early 20th century, the then St. Petersburg Times had a section or pages called News of the Negro Community that reported news from the African-American population of St. Pete. Unfortunately, very little of that news shared the successes and accomplishments of African Americans in our city. The city's black residents virtually disappeared from the newspaper, except when the coverage was about criminal or unflattering behaviors. But this changes in September of 1967, when the Weekly Challenger begins publication. The Weekly Challenger has documented the history of St. Petersburg's African-American community since it was established by Cleveland Johnson, Jr. At its center was Johnson himself, a determined community advocate who recognized the absence of fair and affirming coverage of black life in Pinellas County. He was born in Thomasville, Georgia, came to St. Petersburg with his family in the late 1930s. He attended Davis Elementary and Gibbs High School. After a stint in the U.S. Army, he returned to St. Pete and became a salesman. In the early 1960s, Johnson found a mentor in M.C. Fountain, owner of Fountain Printers on 16th Street South, and began selling advertisements for Fountain's Weekly Advertiser in 1964. That experience gave Johnson both the skills and the confidence to envision a paper of his own. Encouraged by family, friends, Johnson and Fountain launched the Weekly Challenge, intentionally focused on African-American news and achievements. Unlike early publications, it did feature full reporting, with Mamie Brown of the St. Pete Times leading the coverage. The first issue appeared on September 21st, 1967, with 4,000 copies distributed. Fountain died before witnessing its success, and Johnson later added the R to the newspaper's name, cementing its identity as the Weekly Challenger. For Johnson, the paper was a mission as much as a business. It replaced the limited and often dismissive coverage black residents had endured, offering instead consistent positive reporting on community life. After his death in 2001, his wife Ethel continued his work, followed by their daughter Lynn Johnson in 2012, ensuring that his vision endures. So joining us today is Johnson's sister, Irene Johnson Pridgeon. Irene, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Oh, it is amazing to have you here. This is such an important part of our history. So let's just, right off the bat, let's talk about this. So how important was the Weekly Challenger to the African-American population of St. Pete when it was first started being published, especially during that period of the late, like, 60s, early 70s, when it was a time of, you know, civil unrest around the nation and here in St. Petersburg?
Well, it was very important, and my brother was just so happy to be able to do it. First, let me thank you for that intro. That was beautiful. That was perfect. That was just really wonderful. My brother would be smiling from heaven. But when he started the Weekly Challenger newspaper, everybody was just so tired of having such negative press from other newspapers, because every time you hear things about the African-American community, was always negative, as you so stated. So he just said, I'm going to start a paper, and I'm going to tell the good news of all our wonderful children, how the accomplishments they're making, and just everything would be positive, and everything would just tell what we really are as a people and how we really live our lives in such a positive way. So that was just his whole thesis, was just to let the world know that we are great. African-Americans are doing wonderful things, our kids, our churches, want to shine a light on the goodness of African-Americans in St. Petersburg.
And it's so important, obviously. I mean, his mission was just so important. And do you think, starting a new business is hard, right? Starting a newspaper is even harder. So, I mean, do you think that, did Cleveland have that support, that community support right from the beginning?
Well, not from the beginning. You know, nobody's from the beginning because it was, like I said, he had been working with MC Fountain, but at the beginning it was difficult because in any business it always is. But once people understood and he got around and started talking to everyone, everybody wanted to be in it. Because just think of every mother just loving her child. Oh, my little Johnny is just so wonderful. And you're able to tell how they got the honor roll. You can tell what they're doing in their churches. And it, more than that, it was also a source of information. So everybody would know who we are. It introduces one community to another. And the good things we're doing in churches. And it took a while, as in any business. But yeah, once it began, a year or two, it began to take off, and everybody wanted to be in it. Because remember, his mission was to sell advertisement.
Sure, absolutely. You got to make money, or else you can't have the paper, right?
So, right. Yeah, cash was key. You know, cash was key. And so it was. It was always hard when you're first starting.
Well, let me ask you about that. So, I mean, as far as selling advertisements, I mean, always the hardest thing to do, right? With any publication. I mean, do you remember any of those early challenges that he faced?
Well, I don't remember per se, but as I work with my brother years later, as a sales advertisement person, and so in talking with him, because cash was so tight, you know, right. And so you had to start off very small. And I don't remember it from the beginning of how I would like to say I knew he sold an ad for $5, $15 because it was in the 60s, but I do know that he did a lot of it free.
Gotcha.
Of course, he had to.
Yes.
Or, as they say, we put something down on it.
right. So I read this, and is this true that he actually paid or bought the newspaper for $40? Which is a great deal. Although $40 in 1960 is still a lot of money to a lot of people.
Yeah, you're right. You know, because the guy had died, and he had been working with him, and he wanted to take it over. So I think right. That may be about right.
So
$40 is a lot of money. You're right.
Absolutely. So in your conversations with him, I mean, when this newspaper started, was there a lot of pushback from the white community? Did white businesses actually advertising this early on?
Well, of course, no white newspapers advertised. I mean, of course not. It was no. The answer to that, no. You know, when you're changing from the norm,
right.
and when you're saying positive things, and everybody, I'm sure the white probably community, and I can't speak for because I was just a baby in 67.
Me too.
So I can't say firsthand, but I remember him coming even as a child, coming to my house talking with my father about it, because of course he had some changes, and my father had to help him, who was Cleveland Johnson Sr., had to help him with starting the business, and of course the money was always never enough.
Right.
So to get back to what you're saying with the white newspapers, they didn't think it was going to succeed. Of course they didn't. But as if you're saying for subscribers, buying advertisement, no. There was no white advertisement until it becomes successful. You know how that goes,
sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely.
Everybody hops on when they see it's going to make it.
So he, you know, as we talked about a minute ago, I mean, he vowed never to publish a negative article about African Americans.
Correct.
Why do you think his belief was so strong in this matter?
Because every time you pick up a white newspaper, it was always about killing, and it was always about the bad things, and it made our community feel bad. And that was another part of the story. And the good, other you have good and bad in everybody, I assume.
Sure.
As they told all the bad stories, he just had to shine a light on the. It hurts, and that's all they show. So he had to change the image of our community and the kids, and it was just always about killing and for African Americans.
Sure.
And he had to let people know there's more to us than that.
Absolutely. So what?
And we do great things.
Of course, absolutely. So what? like, what were some of your most popular, or your most favorite sections or writers of the Weekly Challenger? What do you think people look forward to the most when they pick that newspaper up?
Pictures of themselves. That was, of course, the pictures of themselves. It was very colorful pictures. And, you know, a picture worth 1,000 words, right?
Right, right.
So after, like I said, as it began to take off, like I said, I wasn't there. I was just a baby. But as it grew, everybody loved the pictures because it had the pictures of the children. It had pictures of churches. It had pictures of pastors. And it had great stories. It let you know things that was happening in the community. And so it would, the pictures, because it was black and white at first, of course.
Sure, sure.
And then when it became color, it really was wonderful.
I mean, USF St. Pete has done a masterful job digitizing, actually, the Weekly Challenger. And I've looked through, you know, some of the files, and I've seen, you know, and you're right, because, I'm looking through the digital pages, right? And the thing that, of course, catches my eye are all these amazing photographs from, like, the Manhattan Casino and Gibbs High Prom and, you know, and stuff like that that was throughout the newspaper. And the thing that I noticed the most, and this, I think, just relates back to his philosophy, is that everybody looked happy in these pictures.
we were happy. They were letting their hair down. And, think about the entertainment. Everybody knows James Brown is coming to town, coming to the Manhattan Casino. Everybody know that Webb City got chickens on sale this week for 15 cents. So it gave you your good news. It gave you your sales. It gave you your entertainment. What movies was coming up. I don't know if movies was 67, but, yeah, I guess we were at movies at the Royal Theater.
Right.
And, it just gave you everything, the school. And think about the sports. They had the football games and the football teams and – so it just gave you, it was information, it was educational, it was informational, it was entertainment, and then it even told us who was running for elections and everything that we would have not gotten from the white publications.
So give me a favorite memory of the newspaper. Anything that you can think of. I mean, what is something that just resides in your head that, man, this was just such a great event or activity or time?
You mean in the whole 50 years?
Yes. It could be more than one, but yes.
Well, I think maybe when they honored my brother they honored him at the 25th. He had a 25th anniversary, and it was just amazing that people didn't realize it was 25 years at that time, and they always ask him, what was his reason for success? And he said, because I always told the truth, I always wanted to make the community happy, and I always wanted to share positive stories. And more than that, he said, I tried to always work with people that didn't have the money to buy advertisement, and so I would let them, he would let them go without doing it. But I think one of the most favorite moments is when he would stand up there, because he never liked to talk a lot. He's a lot like myself. And when he would go, I couldn't believe it. I would think that my brother would get there and just talk, but he didn't like the limelight. He just liked to pay for events. He sponsored so many people, so many businesses. He was just an entrepreneur at heart. He just loved charity, so he was just he was just such a wonderful guy. And I loved to see him when people would say things to him, and he would sometimes not believe him himself, that it made him, that they thought that highly of him, I guess, because he was such an humble person.
Mm-hmm.
And he just loved what he did. But I think just seeing his face, seeing him being happy, seeing him make other people happy, and know that after a while, everybody wanted to be in the paper. So when we walk into a room, everybody would run to Mr. Johnson. Not to mention that he had on really loud color suits. He was a heck of a dresser, very flamboyant. He had a different color from his shoes, his hat. From head to toe, he was totally matched. And he just was a joy to be around, and just wanted to make the world a better place. But he was very humble. And those are one of my favorite memories about him.
That's fantastic. I mean, a million years ago in my previous life, when I was working for the Festival of States, I actually got to meet him. And he did have a flamboyant suit on, now that you say that, I think. Yeah. But he
same shoes, same suit, same color.
He was an amazing man.
Yellow, green, blue. It was all the same color. And hey, let's not forget the Cadillac to match. Every year he got a new Cadillac. And he was just so humble.
So humble, such
an honorable guy.
So newspapers today are struggling, right? And history definitely repeats itself. I mean, when the St. Pete Times was purchased by William Straub back in the day, it was only published twice a week, and he made it, you know, he turned it into a daily, and now it's back to twice a week, right? So these papers are all struggling. I think I just read something yesterday about the Washington Post laying off a lot of its newsroom. So what's your hope? I mean, this newspaper was so important to the African American community and to the city of St. Pete, really. So what's your hope for the Weekly Challenger and some of these other community papers?
Well, because I'm in sales myself with newspapers, and I work with Ben Chavis and the National Newspaper Publications, and I'll leave that to my niece, Lynn, who's done a fantastic mm-hmm. job with the paper. But as far as you think about, because right now there's attack on the Black history,
yeah.
Then the papers are now more important to us than ever. But because technology and your cell phone and social media has taken over, people's mindset is not as long as it was. But you can never get away from it, especially for older Americans, older in St. Pete. We want our newspapers. We like to touch, feel, see.
Right.
And we know in our hands. But I think that they're dwindling because of the world moving so fast and because of social media. But at the same time, we're still alive. We're still around. We're still there. And we're going to be here. We're going to fight. We're going to fight for the community because we know that it's important, because otherwise we don't want our history to get lost. We want to still tell it.
Fantastic.
So it's very important.
Fantastic. So Irene, listen, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this incredibly important part of St. Pete history. Before we go, thinking about, you know, all we've talked about, I think the Challenger played and still does play an important role in our city's history. How do you think that, you know, we talked a little bit about the future, and you talked about social media and stuff, and seeing, you know, the climate of today. What would you say to some of the younger listeners? And I agree with you. I like to hold a newspaper in my hand. I struggle reading it online, right? But what would you say to some of the younger listeners as far as you know, how important the print media is?
I would say that to young people, because I know that they have so much. Their lives are so much busier now. But the young media has to understand the importance to keep the history passed down. And I think the newspaper does that. Like I say, the story was back, young people, is that we would go and get a red soda, a barbecue, and the Weekly Challenger newspaper. That was a coup de grace on a Friday evening. And then as you take the paper to the house, everyone gets to see the same news, and everyone gets to see the good pictures and the wonderful things that we're doing in the community. And so for young people, we try to still tell their stories now, because they have to go to college. And we just have so many wonderful young people in St. Pete that's doing so many great things. So we still have to tell their stories. And it has to be passed down. And we don't want it to go, young people, we don't want it to go just in a 30-minute flash. But we know that when it stays around with the whole family, just to pass the paper around and to see good things, and you can store it. You keep it forever when you put it on digital. But it's important for the community to still tell their stories, as you're doing here today. You know, this is it's wonderful. But to see it in print is really important.
I agree.
So we hope that young people will understand the importance of buying a paper.
I agree. I wish we can go back to those days of getting barbecue, a red soda, and reading the paper, right? That would be fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we still do. Some of us still do.
I'm waiting for the invite. So Irene, thank you so much again for joining us today and sharing this incredibly important part of St. Pete's history. I invite everyone to tune in weekly to Radio St. Pete for Historically St. Pete. and to stop by the Museum of History on your next visit to the pier to explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City. And don't forget, the museum is hosting the Sunshine City Soiree on February 21st at the Vinoy Resort Hotel. You can visit historystpete.org for more information. Thank you for listening, and join us next week on Historically St. Pete.